I'm Robin. I'm a compulsive overeater. Oh my goodness. This thing that we've got is revolutionary. It is revolutionary. I sit in a Saturday morning meeting. There are usually 50 people in that meeting. There are 30, 35 people on the sponsor line. There is something in that group that screams higher power. We are not doing this alone. Look around you. None of us are alone. We have never been alone. Even though I went through a period of time where I had a certain amount of agnosticism, basically because of what happened to me when I was a child, I believed that I needed to do all of this on my own, by myself. And this is what trouble it got me into. Now I have my notes, I'm going to try really hard to follow them. So, you know, the topic today is food is not my friend. It became my intense frenemy. I had food in a position that it was obviously never meant to be. I grew up in a family where very repressed, very staunch Catholics, which is neither here nor there, just to explain that we had a set way of doing things and you follow the rules. And part of that was don't talk about your feelings because they're ugly and they're scary and we don't want the outside world to know that we're having them. It makes us vulnerable. We only talk to each other, but don't talk to me about that because that scares me and that hurts. So I grew up believing that in order to get along in the world, I had to make everybody like me. And I couldn't tell you the truth about me. Because that you might not like that. And what this led to was turning to food, because other things were dangerous, of course, you know. So, you know, we turned to food in the church basement. We turned to food over family holidays. And for everybody else, it was love. It was just, you know, wonderful food. For me, it was the blanket that I put over myself that allowed me to stop growing up. It allowed me to not tell you the truth about myself. It allowed me to feel like I was safe. So, fast forward. I marry an alcoholic. From there, you know, fast forward. I have 4 children because maybe that'll make me feel better. Packing down the food, packing down the food, packing down the food. In the beginning, it was very easy for me to lose weight, get down to a normal weight. And then all of a sudden, something clicked, and I had no ability to control my eating anymore. It was gone. And I assumed that that meant that I had done something wrong, because I was totally insulated. I know now that many of the stages that I was intended to go through as a human being to grow up, I fast-forwarded. No, I didn't fast-forward. I just jumped the hurdle. I ignored them. I, you know, didn't even have the knowledge that they were there. It's like, yep, you just stay safe and you just keep eating. And it got to a point where it broke me. So, some of the things that food had done to me as my frenemy, it betrayed my trust. It convinced me that I wasn't good enough. I was ugly. I had nothing to value. It made me frightened of the world. I kept comparing my insides to your outsides, and you all looked great. And I thought you could see my insides, and I did not look great on the inside. So I was really frightened of you, and I stayed far, far away from you. I had this huge brick wall around me. It took away my power, it took away my self-control, it made me a laughing stock by forcing me to steal food, hide food, lick my bowl like an animal, crawl around on the floor to find a drop morsel, feed, you know, fight the dog for that last morsel, It pushed my husband away, my children away, my friends away. No, food was not my friend. So, what happened to me was that I came to OA. My husband became, you know, my husband found abstinence, sobriety with AA, and I thought, that has got to work for me, because obviously I have an addiction. This is not anything that I have any power over anymore. So I will go to OA. And I got to tell you, I sat in OA for 10 years with no food plan, because I believed that if I only worked the steps hard enough, abstinence would be granted to me with a magic wand. And I felt betrayed by God, because that did not happen. So, I'm also a HOW member. Number of HOW members here. Thank you. And one day I went to a meeting. It was a HOW meeting. And what I heard there is what OA had always been saying, but I haven't been able to take in because I had refused to put down the food. We have a substitute for that, frenemy. We have some suggestions that will help you find a power greater than that poor excuse for a friend, a power greater than yourself. And in the big book on page 59, it says, oh, and this just makes me cry inside. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. And that is exactly what I did. I stood there and I looked at the two paths. Go on to the bitter end. Keep it up, because I'm not going to be able to stop. I know this is my life and this will not end. Or make a change. Take some action and take that other fork in the road, which will require honesty, which will require boundaries, which will require that you let people in and ask for help. And that was so daunting for me as this repressed little, as this repressed little Catholic girl. But you know what? There was no other choice for me. I remember my mother-in-law coming to me after I'd been abstinent for a short time, and she said, you have such willpower. I'm so proud of you. It's desperation, Mama.
Yep.
It is absolute desperation, and there is nothing else that I can do except surrender. Surrender, surrender, surrender. So what happened, my back-to-back abstinence date is June 14th, 2001. I've been abstinent for 22 years. I've had some really hard, scary things happen in that time. I'm not going to lie to you. Because what happens is when you put down the food, all the reasons you eat come up to haunt you. And it's either deal with them or not. And you know that if you don't deal with them, it's just a short trip back to the Hershey bar. And once you have that first day of abstinence, that's the only first day you ever have to have. It was kind of like when I quit smoking. It's like I put down the cigarettes and they kept taunting me. And it's like, no, I know I've got to quit because I've got babies now. So do I want to keep doing this first day over and over and over? This is so painful. The first day is painful. Just get me through it. I won't come back. So I have so much that I want to talk about, and I have such a little time. But when I came into this program, the program that has guidelines and boundaries around it, I was told, find a sponsor, and she helped me get a food plan. And what made a difference to me, what changed everything for me, was committing my food to that sponsor daily, every single day. And what I have is a food plan. I brought some of them with me, but my nutritionist tells me what to eat. The day before, I plan out what I'm going to eat with no emotion. There's no emotion involved when I plan my food the day before. The next morning, I read it to my sponsor, and I eat only that. And I make sure I weigh it correctly so that I'm not, when I'm emotional, I'm not messing up and fluffing, you know, or doing all kinds of things with it. Because I don't eat, thank you, I don't eat for emotional reasons anymore. I used to eat based on how I felt in the moment because I would wait till the last minute to make a decision about food. And I would even say, I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know what I'm going to feel like. So why would I plan it? But food, you know, that's the thing about our friend. Food is not meant to help us deal with our emotions. Food is fuel. Let's see, because I'm short on time here, I'm going to try to scoot ahead here. Okay, one of the questions that was asked last time really stuck with me. Let's see if I can find it here. What's the difference between all this? Well, I can't find it here. But right before we get into the 12 steps in the big book, oh, now I need to stop. Give me a call, and I'll talk more about it.